Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, Werribee. Good to see you. It's great to be back with you. And as most of you know, I normally spend my Sundays down the road in Bacchus Marsh. And today, if I had the gift of teleportation, I would be popping backwards and forwards between the campuses. But sadly, the Lord has not granted me that spiritual gift. While I'm here with you in person today, my Bacchus Marsh family is watching on the screen. So just a greetings to you guys. I really miss you and love you and wish I could be in two places at once. Now, hands up. This is not a trick question. Hands up if you completed the census this week. Oh, very good. Now it's confession time. Hands up if you didn't. I hope you did, by the way, because there's like a $300+ fine for every day, not just a one-off fine, it's every day you delay, so make sure you complete the census if you haven't. Now, who ticked the box to reveal your name in 99 years? Who was brave enough to do that? A couple of us, yeah? What do you think people will say to you in 99 years? Will your name be on a list? Maybe the Guinness Book of Records. Maybe you're listed as a patron of a charity. Maybe you're on a list of authors. Who's written a book? Someone's written a book here. Maybe you're a list of authors. Maybe you're on a list of prison inmates. Maybe here in Werribee, but not in Bacchus Marsh. That would never happen. What will people say about you long after you're gone? Well, today's message is titled Make Your Life Matter. It's part two of a four-part series called Make It Matter. And we've been tracking through the Apostle Paul's letter to the early church in Rome for the best part of this year. And it's become very, very clear from Paul's letter that the gospel doesn't just save us for eternity in heaven, it reshapes us for how we need to live right now. And it gives our lives purpose, and it calls us to live for what matters to God. It's really important to live for what matters to God. Romans 16 is one of those chapters that we often skip over. It kind of looks like just a list of names. Kind of like, you know, the genealogies you come across in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And it's kind of like all these names, and they're all, you know, names you can't pronounce. But you know, it's not just a list. It's a window. A window into the kind of people God uses. Now, Paul is finishing what many believe to be his greatest letter. And he ends this letter by honouring ordinary people who made an extraordinary impact. This message is really simple and can be summed up in this. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people who faithfully say yes. That's it. You can go home now. Paul greets 26 people by name. Now, I've got some slides here. Please don't try to read them while I'm speaking because you won't listen to what I'm saying and you won't remember all the names anyway, right? I basically put that up just so you can see there are in fact 26 names. You're not going to remember all their names, right? I'm just showing you to make a point. He also mentions two unnamed saints. He acknowledges multiple house churches. He sends greetings from 9 people who are with him in Corinth. So why does it matter? It matters because Paul wasn't a lone ranger. When most people think of Paul, they think of a giant of the faith. the man who wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, the theologian who shaped Christian doctrine, the missionary who planted churches across the Roman Empire. His impact on the early church is unmatched. But here's the surprising thing about Paul. Paul didn't do any of it alone. He wasn't a lone ranger. In fact, he was a friend maker, a team builder, a man who multiplied himself through relationships. Romans 16 proves it. And behind Paul's extraordinary ministry, and it was extraordinary, stood dozens of ordinary people who faithfully said yes. You see, Paul wasn't a spiritual superhero. He was an incredible friend maker. He lived deeply connected. He multiplied himself through relationships. In his commentary on this particular passage, Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, the servants God has used most were people who could make friends. Paul understood something we often forget. The kingdom is built by people. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. It's God who builds the church. That's 100% true. By this I mean God builds his church, not with platforms like this, but with relationships. Not with resumes, but with faithfulness. Not with fame, but through ordinary people. Just look at the first name mentioned, Phoebe. A woman, a servant, a helper. And the carrier of his letter to the church in Rome. Never did a messenger carry a more important letter. Now, let me just quantify. This is not explicitly stated in the text, but strongly implied by the language, and theologians agree that Phoebe was the one that carried the letter. We have been reflecting all year on the very letter that Phoebe hand-delivered to the little congregation in Rome. See, Phoebe wasn't famous, but she mattered. Then there's Priscilla and Aquila, tent makers, hard workers. They risked their lives for Paul. They even hosted a church in their home. Now, this couple is quite interesting. Well, I don't even know if they're a couple. I'm assuming they're a couple, but we actually meet these two in Acts chapter 18, and then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and then again in 2 Timothy 2. They appear in three major cities, Corinth, Ephesus, and Rome. That means they weren't just random names in this list. They were well-known, deeply trusted leaders in the early church. Now, interestingly, Priscilla and Aquila, their movements line up perfectly with the historical timeline of Claudius's expulsion of the Jews from Rome. And Acts tells us they left Rome because of Claudius's decree, the emperor of Rome. Romans historians confirm the expulsion of the Jews. Archaeology doesn't exactly give us a plaque with the name of Priscilla and Aquila's name on it, but it does confirm the world they lived in was a thriving tent-making district in Corinth, a Jewish artisan community that fits the exact timeline of Paul's stay. This is one of those quiet historical threads that reinforces the accuracy and the reliability of the Bible. They weren't famous outside of the church, but they mattered. And then there's Epaphras. I hope I pronounced that right. Forgive me for getting these names wrong. The very first convert in Asia. One life that led to many. He wasn't famous. He mattered. And Mary, who worked very hard Andronicus and Junia, who went to prison with Paul. Now, there's much controversy around Junia. Was Junia a female or a male? Was she a respected apostle, or was she respected among the apostles? For the first 1,000 years of church history, nobody questioned her gender, her leadership. Only much later did they try to make her name masculine. Ben Witherington says this: the evidence is overwhelming. Junia was a woman, and she was considered outstanding among the apostles. Now, here's a really interesting one. Rufus and his mother. I want you to consider the wording. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. That implies the readers must have known Rufus well enough to know his mother. How else would they know who she was? Paul is acknowledging his mother in some respects more deeply than Rufus, not just Rufus himself. Now, that's interesting. Why should she be known as Rufus's mother? Okay, so the Bible nerds here today are going to love this. So strap yourself in for a bit of a wild ride. In Mark 15:21, when Jesus was carrying his cross, Mark says this: and they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Now, Mark is the only gospel writer to name Simon's sons. Why? Because Mark expected his readers to know who Alexander and Rufus were. There is very strong early Christian tradition, supported by eternal clues and the gospel itself, that Mark wrote his gospel in Rome for Roman Christians. The Latin expressions, the Roman timekeeping, the explanation of Jewish customs, and even the mention of Alexander and Rufus all point to a Roman audience. Now think about that for a moment. When Paul writes to the Romans and says, greet Rufus, it is very likely he is greeting the very same Rufus whose father carried the cross of Jesus. Now, we can't confirm it with absolute certainty, but the connection is historically plausible, and many scholars see it as more than coincidence. W. Sande puts it this way: it is not unlikely that the same Rufus may have been meant. And Paul adds another detail. He greets Rufus's mother and says she was a mother to him. Now, that means that this family was well known in the early church. They were respected, loved, and influential. Now think about that. A man forced to carry Jesus' cross. A family transformed by that encounter. A son who becomes a leader in the Roman church. And a woman who becomes a spiritual mother to Paul. It's another one of those small threads in Scripture that quietly reinforces the reliability of the Bible. Different authors, different books, different decades, and yet the pieces fit together. And it's not the kind of detail you invent. It's the kind of detail that shows the story is true. I don't know about you, but isn't that amazing? Because it reminds us that an unexpected moment with Jesus can ripple through generations. But wait, there's more. You get steak knives with that. Mark's gospel comes through the voice of Peter. From the earliest days of the church, Christians consistently taught that Mark wrote down Peter's eyewitness preaching. the vivid details, the honesty about Peter's failures, and the focus of the narrative all fit that pattern. And Mark himself was likely right there. Many scholars believe he was the unnamed young man who followed Jesus on the night of his arrest. A very early disciple whose family home became a gathering place for the church. So when we read Mark, an ordinary young man, we are reading the memories of one of the greatest apostles, written by someone who was there. Now, Paul's list continues. Tryphena and Tryphosa, hardworking women. Persis is described as beloved and faithful. Paul names 26 people, ordinary names, ordinary people, extraordinary faithfulness. So what is Paul trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that every person matters. Every story matters. Every yes matters. And if Paul wrote Romans 16 about us, about Catalyst, whose names would be there? Who would he honour in our midst? Who would he thank? Who would he celebrate? And more importantly, would your name be on that list? Not because you're famous, but because you're faithful. So today we've put together a little video that we think reflects what Paul would have said about us.
I greet Soria, whose smile has helped many find they belong. I greet Megan and Beth, who have served with joy. I greet Caleb, who has helped little people grow big faith. I greet Rob, whose unseen service has helped the message be heard. I greet Michael, who has used his gifts so others could encounter God. I greet Rosie, who has faithfully cared so the ministry could flourish.
I greet Karen, Ruth, and Teresa, whose service has helped others find community.
I greet Xavier, who is showing a generation how to worship Jesus. I greet O'Shane, whose hands have quietly prepared the way for others. I greet Dean and Fonka and Annette for guiding our hearts to Christ in worship. I greet Sam, who has chosen faithfulness over recognition. I greet Lalani and Fowler, whose life reminds us that no act of service is ever wasted. I greet all those who have faithfully served the Lord. Your work has strengthened His church and pointed many toward Jesus.
Now that video should have been an hour long, I think. I can think of so many names that we didn't have time to include. I think here in Werribee, I think of Brian Young that's working in the garden crew every Saturday morning. I think of Ian Lang who comes in and does some sparky work. I think of Paul the Builder. And back in Bacchus Marsh, I think of Steve and Marlene and Danny and Di and Matt and Vicky who go between campuses. And Barry, who cannot know Barry. If you haven't been to Bacchus Marsh, you'll get to know Barry. He's like the garden gnome. He's there everywhere. He's the janitor. So many people pushing back the darkness. Romans 16 shows a church where everybody brings something. Phoebe served. Priscilla and Aquila taught. Mary worked hard. Epaphroditus evangelized. Andronicus and Junia suffered. Rufus' mother nurtured. And others hosted churches and others encouraged. Different gifts, different roles, different backgrounds, different stories. This is the beauty of the church. Not everyone does the same thing, but everyone does something. To quote Warren Wiersbe again, he said, "These devoted saints fulfilled their ministries to the glory of God." They didn't compare. They didn't compete. They didn't complain. They simply used what God placed in their hands, and God used it. This is the heart of the message. Every gift matters. Your gift matters. Your role matters. Your contribution matters. You don't have to preach like Paul to make a difference. Heck, I can't preach like Paul. I just do the best I can with what God has given me. And we can't all lead music like the worship team did this morning, like Vitai does, to make a difference. You don't have to be on this stage to make a difference. You just need to say yes. Romans 16 is a reminder that the kingdom of God is built by ordinary people making an extraordinary commitment. Phoebe said yes to carrying the letter. Priscilla and Aquila said yes to opening up their home. Mary said yes to serving tirelessly. Andronicus and Junior, they said yes to suffering. Rufus' mother said yes to nurturing. The list goes on. None of them were apostles. None of them wrote scripture. None of them planted churches. None of them preached to crowds. But without them, the gospel doesn't spread. Without them, churches don't grow. Without them, Paul doesn't finish his race. This is the power of ordinary faithfulness. He doesn't ask you to be impressive. He asks you to be available. And when you do, he uses it. He multiplies it. He breathes on it. He turns ordinary obedience into extraordinary impact. This passage is a reminder that the kingdom is built by people whose names most of us will never know. Did you know all the names on the video this morning? The kingdom is built by people whose names we mostly will not know. People who simply said yes. People who used what God placed in their hands. You don't have to be a Bible hero like Paul to make a difference. You just need to be faithful. I want to leave you with two very practical steps to put this message of today into real action. As I mentioned earlier, Paul understood the power of relationship. You know, we have a crew of, I think, over 300 volunteers. Someone can tell me how many? Over 300. Yeah, well over 300, who serve diligently, who make Catalyst a catalyst, no pun intended. You know what? Those 300-odd people that I'm referring to, you are our best ambassadors. You are our recruiting agency. You know what? I've been in church life most of my life, and if chances are, if you're a volunteer in this church, you are tapped out. Your time, your funds, there's not a whole lot more you can do between work and family and rest and everything else. The challenge of today's message is to learn from Paul. If anyone was tapped out, it was Paul. But he understood multiplication. He inspired others to step up. He was deeply relational. He had interest in people and he invested in them. And you can do the same. Take an interest in the people around you. You know what? We have all we need in this room and in the room in Bacchus Marsh. We have all we need to change the world. Jesus told 12 young men to go and proclaim the gospel. We're here today because those 12 men said yes and were obedient. Church is not about you being entertained for an hour on a Sunday. It's about what you bring into the room. It's how you greet the people around you. I love the way Paul wraps up this particular passage. Chapter 16, verse 16 says this, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, when Paul says greet one another with a holy kiss, you do realize he's not talking about romance. He's talking about family. In the ancient world, and even in some cultures today, a kiss on the cheek was a normal greeting between close friends and family members. It meant you belong. You are welcome. You are safe with me. We're in this together. Now, Paul takes that everyday gesture and gives it a new meaning. He calls it a holy kiss. Holy means set apart, sacred, filled with God's love. So Paul is saying, treat each other like family. Show affection, show unity, show warmth, show honour. Let your relationships reflect the love of Jesus. Now, it's not about the kiss. It's about the spirit behind it. Paul is essentially saying this: let your community be marked by genuine love, not cold formality. And then he adds, all the churches of Christ greet you. It's like he's pulling back a curtain and saying, you're part of something bigger. You're part of a global family. You're not alone. And it's from this place, that sense of being together as a family globally, that the gospel advances. Not through programs or marketing, but through the witness of a community shaped by genuine relationship. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Maybe you've been more of a spectator than a participant. Maybe you're new to this church. Maybe you're not sure how to get the next step. I want you to greet Simon down the back. Sorry, Bacchus, he's not in your room, he's down the back of our room. I want you to greet Simon because Simon has put together a tool that will help you find your fit. And as I explain right now, you can see up on the screen, on the seats in front of you, you can do the QR code, can't you, Simon? Is that right? They can do the QR code to get this, yes? And you can go navigate to our website, and what we've put together is a link. And basically the idea is that you can browse this list and you can see there's 95 opportunities to serve. And what you can do is you can apply some filters, some topics that you're interested in, and you can also filter by campus or by how many hours you've got, whether you want to work from home. You just click on the link and you find a job that's available that needs to be done. And it's really simple. You just basically say yes and you click on that and it'll help you send an email to us and we can explore how that might work for you and for us. You see, we can't do it all. We can't do what the Apostle Paul did. There was only one Apostle Paul. But we can do our bit. We can follow Paul's example. We can become friend makers. We can be deeply connected. We can share the load with the many. We can change the world together. And it starts with us greeting each other with a holy kiss. Amen? You're going to get on board? Are you excited? I hope so, because I am. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are an incredibly gracious God and that you call us each to participate in your grand plan of salvation. Lord, we acknowledge today that we can't all be the Apostle Paul, but we can all do our bit. So Father God, I just pray that if there's anyone in this room today who isn't all in, and who doesn't understand that we're better together, I pray that they will sense that in the message today, that we, when we join each other's arms, when we lock arms and serve together and do our bit, then incredible things happen in this world. So Lord, I pray that that we may go forth from this place with a real sense of purpose and that our lives will indeed matter because we're doing things that matter to you. Amen. Amen.